All right, so today we're diving headfirst into a painting that's absolutely brimming with drama and intrigue, a real showstopper.
That's a great way to put it, actually. It's not every day you get to unpack a work like The Intervention of the Sabine Woman by Jacques-Louis David.
I mean, just imagine you're standing there in the Louvre and this massive canvas just draws you in.
Right.
Right. You've got this whirlwind of bodies, this clash of emotions, and this incredible story unfolding before your eyes.
And it's a story that takes us straight back to the very foundation of ancient Rome, a tale of ambition, conflict, and, would you believe it, the abduction of a whole lot of women.
Yeah, it's not exactly your typical meet-cute, is it? But that's where our deep dive begins, with Romulus, Rome's ambitious founder. He needs wives for his men, right, to build this new city.
And not just any wives, mind you. The Romans were quite strategic even back then.
Oh, totally. They had their eyes on the Sabine women, known for their strength, their virtue, basically the kind of women you'd want as the mothers of your future Roman citizens.
Precisely. But there was one small problem. The Sabines weren't exactly keen on handing over their daughters. So Romulus, being the ever-resourceful leader that he was, came up with a plan.
And that plan was, let's just say, less than subtle. He invited the Sabines to this grand festival. You know, a bit of feasting, a bit of merriment. What could go wrong?
Well, let's just say things took a turn. Imagine the scene. Everyone's enjoying themselves. The wine is flowing. And then all hell breaks loose. The Roman men, as per Romulus's instructions, abduct the Sabine women.
It's hard to wrap your head around it today, isn't it? This brazen act of forced marriage being a pivotal event in Roman history.
It sounds utterly outrageous to our modern sensibilities, but to the Romans, this event, this merging of two distinct groups, was seen as the very bedrock upon which the future of their empire would be built. A turbulent beginning, perhaps, but they believed it would lead to something glorious.
So they saw the Sabines as equals then, in a way.
In many ways, yes. They respected their strength, admired their culture, even saw them as people to be revered. That's what makes this whole episode of abduction all the more significant. This wasn't just about taking what they wanted. It was about uniting with a people they saw as essential to their destiny.
But of course, the Sabine men, understandably, weren't too thrilled about this whole forced union situation.
Oh, absolutely not. They eventually marched on Rome, ready to reclaim their daughters, their sisters, their kin.
And that, my friend, is the very moment, the peak of tension and drama that David captures in The Intervention of the Sabine Women. We're not talking just a battle scene here. This is a family reunion gone very, very wrong.
And David, he doesn't shy away from the emotional intensity of it all. He thrusts us right into the heart of the conflict, right between the warring sides with Hercilia, the daughter of the Sabine leader, caught in the middle.
You can practically feel her desperation, can't you? She's physically putting herself between her husband Romulus and her father Titus Tatius, both on the verge of, well, all-out war.
It's a powerful depiction of the human cost of conflict. But then, look closer, there's another layer to this scene, an even more poignant detail that David weaves in.
You mean those babies, those infants caught right there in the crossfire? It just breaks your heart, doesn't it? Their little faces, their tiny limbs reaching out. It's like a stark reminder of the innocence at stake here.
Exactly. These aren't just faceless figures in a historical drama. These are families. These are the bonds that both unite and divide us. And David, he makes sure we never lose sight of that. Even in the midst of this grand historical narrative, he brings it back to the deeply personal, the incredibly human stakes of it all.
And he doesn't let us forget, not even for a second, the weight of their choices. Because right there, looming in the background, is that unmistakable landmark. The Tarpeian Rock.
Ah, yes, the Tarpeian Rock. And again, David is being incredibly deliberate here. This isn't just a scenic backdrop. It's laden with meaning.
Because, of course, in ancient Rome, the Tarpeian Rock wasn't just any old cliff face, was it? It was a place of execution, a place where traitors met their end.
Precisely. A rather grim reminder of the potential consequences of betrayal, wouldn't you say? And by placing it there, almost like a silent observer to this unfolding drama, David is adding yet another layer of complexity to this already incredibly rich scene.
It's like he's saying, look, even if they achieve peace, even if these families can somehow reconcile the shadow of betrayal, the potential for it all to unravel, it's always lurking.
It's a powerful reminder, isn't it, that the path to peace is rarely straightforward. And the potential for things to fall apart is ever present. And for David, well, this wasn't just some abstract concept. He was living through a period of intense turmoil himself. Remember, he's painting this in the wake of the French Revolution, a time of incredible upheaval and violence.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that he wasn't just some detached observer, wasn't he? David was right there in the thick of it, a passionate supporter of the revolution, even serving as a politician for a time.
He was deeply invested in the ideals of the revolution, in the promise of a new society. But then, of course, came the Reign of Terror.
That dark chapter, when the revolution, the very thing he championed, took this incredibly brutal turn.
And David, he wasn't spared from the upheaval. He ended up imprisoned for his political beliefs, a stark reversal of fortune for someone who had been so close to the center of power.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it, how that experience, that fall from grace, how it shaped his perspective, his art.
Absolutely. When he finally emerged from prison, he was a changed man, deeply affected by what he had witnessed, by the violence and the bloodshed that had engulfed the very revolution he had embraced.
So then he starts working on the intervention of the Sabine women, this scene of ancient conflict. You can't help but see the parallels, can you? It's like he's grappling with the very real divisions and tensions of his own time.
Precisely. On the surface, it's an episode from Roman history, but look closer and you see this powerful allegory for the France of his day. Those warring factions, the pleas for peace, it's all there, reflected in the faces of Romulus, Titus Tychius, and of course, the anguished figure of Hercilia.
He's calling for unity, for reconciliation, isn't he? Pleading with his fellow citizens to choose a different path, to break the cycle of violence that had gripped their nation.
Yes, and it's a message that takes on an even deeper resonance when we consider what was happening in David's personal life during this time. While he was working on the painting, his estranged wife, Charlotte, visited him in prison.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. That adds a whole other dimension to the story, doesn't it?
It does. And while we can't know for sure what transpired between them, it's hard not to see that visit reflected in the painting, in Hercilia's desperate plea for reconciliation, for love to triumph over conflict.
It's like he's pouring his own longing for connection, for healing onto the canvas. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, those gestures, those embraces, they take on this incredibly personal, almost heartbreaking quality.
Absolutely. It reminds us that even amidst these grand historical narratives, these sweeping artistic statements, it's often the personal, the intimate, that resonates most powerfully. And speaking of powerful impacts, the intervention of the Sabine women didn't just spark conversations about politics and peace. It also ignited quite a stir in the world of fashion.
Ooh, do tell. Tell me more about the scandal and style surrounding this painting, especially those women and their captivating presence. They really are something else. All right, let's dish about the gossip, the intrigue, the whispers surrounding those captivating women in the intervention of the Sabine women, especially with rumors swirling around David's models.
Well, two figures in the painting, the ones who really seemed to, let's say, captivate the viewer with their beauty, they were rumored to be the de Bellegarde sisters, Adele and Aurore. Quite the pair, those two.
Oh, we're talking high society. Whispers of romance, a little scandal to spice things up. And wasn't David a man deeply affected by his own experiences with love and separation? Makes you wonder if those emotions found their way onto the canvas, especially with these particular figures.
Perhaps. It's certainly an interesting thought. But scandal aside, there's no denying the impact those images, particularly their attire, had on Parisian society. I mean, those flowing gowns, the almost translucent fabrics, it was like ancient Greece and Rome met the height of Parisian fashion.
Right. It's incredible, this fusion of classical inspiration with a modern sensibility. And those dresses, they became all the rage, didn't they?
They absolutely did. Women abandoned those stiff, restrictive corsets and drapes, opting instead for these flowing silhouettes, these lighter, more diaphanous fabrics. David's painting, it didn't just capture a moment in history, it captured a mood, an aspiration. And what woman wouldn't want to embody that kind of timeless grace and elegance?
So it's like this single work of art, inspired by ancient myths and David's own personal turmoil, sparked a fashion revolution. It's amazing how art can do that, reflect and even reshape the world around it. We started our deep dive with a tale of abduction, conflict, and the fragility of peace. But through David's eyes, this ancient story became a powerful message of reconciliation, a testament to the enduring strength of love, and even a fashion revolution.
It's a testament to the enduring power of art to spark dialogue, to challenge conventions, and to connect with us on a deeply human level, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And as we wrap up our deep dive into David's The Intervention of the Sabine Women, we're left with so much to ponder. How does this painting speak to you today? In a world grappling with its own share of conflict and division, can art still be that bridge, that call for unity and understanding? Perhaps as you reflect on this masterpiece, you'll find your own answers.